This is Bronco Game Night. You've listened to the game. Now it's your turn to talk about it. Call 208-336-3700 to get in line now. Bronco Game Night is brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle. They measure success one foot at a time. It's time to talk about Boise State football. Now joined by Chris Lewis and Mike Prater, here's your host, Rick Worthington, on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KBOI.
Well, what do you know? What a ball game. The Broncos win it in overtime, 59-52 at Colorado State. Sends Colorado State out of the postseason conversation for at least the Mountain West championship game, and sends the Broncos into a position to cement themselves in the Mountain West championship game next week if everything falls into place. We'll get to that later. First and foremost, welcome to Bronco Game Night after a marvelous football game. Along with Chris Lewis and Mike Prater, I'm Rick Worthington, and it is your opportunity to get in and talk about the game on the Domino's Fresh Never Frozen Hotline. The number to call is 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-5264. I know it's early in the morning on Sunday. I hope that you stayed up not only just to watch the game, but we can comment on any number of different things, like how many different times did the Rams choke that game away? And did Boise State win the game? Did the Rams lose the game? Coach Harsin went nuts after the game. The fans were going nuts after the game, and the Rams fans that stayed to watch the end of that probably are losing their minds right now, too. Chris Lewis.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
You enjoy that one, big guy?
Hey, it was there's stuff that happened in that game. No. All right, this is why you're fans. This is why you become fans of a football team. It's not to see the team win every game by 30. It's not to go to the ballpark and have the game be over by halftime and Boise State win and they can cruise and you can get on with your day. That wouldn't be compelling enough for you to keep going and sitting in the cold every Saturday for a Boise State late night game and to take time away from your son's sports activities if you're a parent out there. That's games like this is why you come back. It's why you get in front of the television. It's why you call this show at 1:45 in the morning.
Is that what time it is?
Yes. It's why you do it.
Hello. It's also why you turn off the TV at halftime and wake up tomorrow morning and have a heart attack and say, what?
That's true.
The newspaper screwed it up again.
That's it.
Boise State wins.
It's one of those games that you'll always remember, and you're lucky to have one of those in a season where it's a game that you'll remember not just this year, not just when you look back on the video yearbook. You'll remember it from years. Every time Boise State has an overtime game going forward, it'll come up. Remember when Boise State was down 28-3, 35-10 against Colorado State. Remember when everybody wanted to quit on what could have been in that game, and to have all the things click and to have all the things go wrong for Colorado State too, and we can get to that. It's what brings you back, man. It's fun. Enjoy it, Boise State fans. Enjoy it.
That was a fun football game to watch. No getting around it. Mike Prater, how you doing?
Well, I'm just sitting here gloating in the fact that that's how all three of us drew that game up, right? That's exactly what we expected from that game, especially after that first half. We thought, no, no problem. This is how I know when Bronco Nation is delirious. When you put out tweets that say Boise State is losing this game, Boise State has lost this game, Boise State lost this game because of dot, 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 and nobody criticizes you because they didn't expect it either. And all of a sudden, and to answer your question, Colorado State choked three times, although somebody corrected me and said maybe it was four times. So maybe let's
is that all?
Let's go three and a half.
I mean, look, if you score 50 and you don't win, there's going to be at least a few points in that game where you did.
Yeah, but this is different than like a 62-52 Oklahoma State game. This was
You're right.
This was more than just an offensive track meet. This was I don't even know how to describe it. Somebody even said it was more entertaining and better than the Fiesta Bowl. I'm not sure I'm going to go that far.
In all of that scoring, and as good as Colorado State looked at the beginning of that football game in the first quarter, at the end of the first quarter, I didn't really feel like that game was over because the offense looked good. And as we've seen Boise State make corrections through a ball game. They make good adjustments. Yeah. I didn't feel like the game was ever out of reach or over. I didn't look at the score and say, oh, we're in big trouble, until I think maybe the fourth quarter, and I was like,
that rip and interception.
I was like, going, oh. Yep.
That rip and pick was one of those moments.
I think I said to Todd in the other room as he was cutting up the clips, I was like, well, I think that's going to do it. And I think I circled back a few minutes later. I was like, yeah, we're going to want to hang one of those highlights, my man.
Does anybody have, like, the win probability stats on this game? Because I didn't see that. I didn't follow the game cast.
I was watching the ESPN game cast has, you know, the percentages.
Yeah, the win probability.
And it was only in Boise State's favor before the game started.
Yeah.
And with, like,
I want to know what it was at its lowest point. I want to know when it was at its lowest point and what it was at its lowest point, because
that
would be very intriguing to me. Another note I wrote down, and there's so many different ways to attack, but I really do feel like this was a microcosm of each of these team seasons, all wrapped up in one game, and the way it ended, especially on the Colorado State side, goes to show you, Colorado State is a Mountain West fraud in football. They're a fraud. They sometimes look good. They can tease you with great offense, and just like in the beginning of this season, where their offense was really good and looked like the best in the Mountain West, in this game, their offense at the beginning of the game looked really good, looked like it was one of these shows that you have to go out and see. It was that effective with Gallup and with Nick Stevens throwing it across the yard, and this Dawkins running back who's out here gashing. That's what they look like at the beginning of the year. And then eventually you start to see the lack of defense catching up with them, and that's the story of Colorado State's season. Hot start, quarterback looks good, but their defense allows the other team to hang in it, and eventually it comes through. And that's what happened with Boise State. And same thing for the Broncos side of things. It was, hey, the beginning was shaky, just like this season. The beginning of the season was shaky for Boise State. But eventually the defense figures it out, just like the defense figured it out in this game. The offense was late to come around, just like it was late to come around this season. It was late to come around in this game. It really was a microcosm of the season, all wrapped up into one Boise State win.
Wow, that was deep, Chris. I like the way you think. Sometimes, not all the time.
Yeah, about to say. When did that ever happen?
All right, real quick, let's hit to the phone here real quick. The Domino's Fresh Never Frozen Hotline, 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-5264. John is in Boise. John calls us every week. We like to hear from John. What'd you think of that game, John?
Exciting, but the officials were horrible on some of the calls.
You didn't like that?
The targeting.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it was targeting or not, the play that you're probably talking about on the wide receiver on the sideline.
No, I'm talking about when we got the interception.
The roughing the passer, I think, is what he's talking about, which, hey, I actually didn't I didn't disagree with it as much as a lot of the Boise State fans did. Like, you do push them late. When you push a quarterback late and shove him to the ground as you're the second guy to come, you're opening yourself up to a roughing the passer call. So I'm not outraged about that. Boise State was 21 points better than Colorado State. I feel like in this game, if they would have done the things that they normally do, like if they hold on to these interceptions, if they don't have the roughing the passer calls, they don't have some lapses early in the game, but they dug themselves a hole. And Rick, to your point of you never really felt like they were completely out of it, maybe it was because there was opportunities that Boise State had on the board that they just kept let slip early. It was just uncharacteristic. It wasn't like they were getting whooped. It was Boise State was making some uncharacteristic plays, decision, not holding on to an interception. Come on.
Some of that stuff happened in the Virginia game, and I was having some Virginia flashbacks about this defense, and this defense has been rock solid all season long, and I don't understand what happens with this defense when it has meltdowns, whether it's late against Washington State, whether it's the entire game against Virginia, whether it was tonight in the first half. You could point at Tyler Horton. You can point at maybe some scheme. You can point at a couple of things. But to me, it's between the years, and it's because this football team is good. So when they have these mental letdowns, especially after the week started with Coach Harsin, and you're the one who pointed this out, Chris, his barking at the players for lack of focus and social media, and you need to get yourself back on track. Next thing you know, they're out there running around. They didn't know what they were doing that first half.
Mm-hmm. I'm still shaking my head. I still don't know how they pulled that off. 59-52 was the final score tonight.
Can we point to a play?
A Boise State winner in overtime.
I don't know.
Let's talk to Brian in Boise. Brian, thanks for calling us tonight. How you doing, my man?
Hey, guys. What's up?
You know,
we are.
I never gave up. I listened to the whole game with Bob Beeler, and we were tough, and we just kept coming back. I wanted to say Chris Lewis, by the way, you called a great basketball game. Here.
Chris Lewis,
hey,
getting a plug today.
Appreciate that. Thanks very much.
So I've been drinking too much, so I'll let you guys go.
We have two, man. It's all right. No, not really. Brian, thanks very much for calling tonight. We appreciate you listening.
He sounded pretty good for a guy who's been drinking too much.
I mean, we got the one compliment that we needed.
I thought that was the first clue that he'd been drinking too much.
I know, that's exactly when the person who praises my play, the next sentence out of their mouth is, I've been drinking too much. You kind of get the understanding of what my play-by-play might have been.
God bless you, Brian. We appreciate you calling tonight. Mike, real quick, you do a better job keeping stats and trying to track
the
different nuances and probably better at keeping history. Was this the biggest come-from-behind victory in Boise State history? They tried to talk about it a little on the telecast on ESPN tonight, or I'm sorry, on CBS tonight, and they said this is going to go down as one of the biggest comebacks ever for Boise State, but they didn't come right out and say it, and I didn't hear Bob say it either.
Yeah, I don't
know what it is.
I don't know if it is mathematically in terms of the numbers. I'll have to go back and do that. Tom Scott or somebody will figure that out, and we'll get some numbers on that. Emotionally, important-wise, absolutely. Absolutely, this is going to go down as one of the biggest comebacks in Boise State history. This season is important for Boise State. This three-game stretch is absolutely brutal. What are the ramifications if they don't pull it off? Well, we got a disgruntled fan base, so it's not like it's life and death, but this was a huge game, a huge victory. As flat as they were emotionally in that first half, for them to come back and win this football game, I think is huge and carries them into what is basically been the season game of the season next week with Air Force, where we know that we've lost to Air Force three straight times. We know that the fans have been pointing to that game for a long time. Boise State can clinch the division, can clinch a spot in the Mountain West title game. Next week is a big game, and they're going in feeling really good about themselves.
So in all of this, did we learn anything specifically about Boise State tonight? I mean, what can we take away from a victory like this?
We could take away that the offense is actually good enough to win a game when it needs to. And granted, the Bronco offense put up a bunch of numbers the last couple of weeks against Nevada and against Utah State, but also the defense was excellent in those games, and Boise State could front run, and it was about as great of a script, game script-wise, as you can write out for Boise State football. Mm-hmm. What we didn't know is if this offense faces adversity early in the game, were they good enough to dig themselves out of a hole? How would the two quarterback rotation go? What if Brett Rippon has to drop back umpteenth times in a game and a drive? How would the offense be able to handle it? That's what we learned, is that maybe it was part Colorado State mistakes along the way, but this offense continued to move the ball when it was down by three touchdowns, and you didn't know that about Boise State going into the game.
I think you're right.
Well,
I'm just gonna leave it at that. I'm just gonna cut
it. Oh my goodness!
Well, I really want to talk to Don, who's in Boise. I was like, if I say anything more to you, then you'll comment more. So, how about Don in Boise? How are you doing tonight, Don?
I'm doing good. Thanks, guys.
What you got?
Heck of a game.
Was a heck of a game. No getting around that.
Yeah. So here's my quick little thoughts. The San Diego State game, second half, when San Diego State kind of regained the momentum and the Boise State offense drove down the field like a 12-play drive with just one pass, that was Alexander Madison's coming out party, I thought. This game, after we were down 14 with 3 minutes to go, and Rippon shook off that interception, and that tonight was his coming of age, where he became, in my mind, kind of a young man. To have the courage and to stand in there, take that hit on that touchdown, and to lead his team back, I just thought that was just tremendous, tremendous leadership. So, a fascinating game. So fun to see, you know, young men kind of blossom into their true potential. And that's kind of my takeaway from tonight.
Appreciate the call. Thanks very much for listening, Don. Take care tonight, man. Some deep thoughts from Don. I think he's right, though. I think anytime you get an opportunity to see people grow, I'll put it to you like this. Week 1, 2, 3, and probably 4, those weeks, Boise State's offense was not where it needed to be in order to come back from a deficit like this. But after the last couple of weeks, they definitely matured a little bit. I don't know if it's the players that have done the maturing or if it's the offense that's come to fruition, but the way this team has matured on the field, certainly we saw a lot of that tonight in the 59-52 victory.
I'll go back to your other question where you said, what did we learn tonight? I don't know if we learned this tonight, but for me it was an affirmation that I think Brian Harsin and his coaching staff are doing their best job since they've been here in 3+ seasons. I saw a couple people on social media tonight saying Brian Harsin can't coach in November. Brian Harsin always chokes late in the season. He's 10-3 in November. And I thought tonight, and I thought this season, if Chris is talking about a microcosm of the season, you know, this game was a microcosm of the season in terms of getting better. Uh-huh. And they got better as you could go along. Now, there were times where we still didn't think that they were going to win this game. But in terms of injuries and losing players, juggling quarterbacks, you know, I talked about how in the Troy game when they made the right But they pushed the right buttons with the quarterbacks, and bringing in Montel Cozart in the second half of that Troy game, I think won the game, and I credited the coaches for that. I'll flip-flop that tonight. Taking Cozart out and putting Brett Rypien in and recognizing that Cozart wasn't on fire and that Rypien and Madison could take care of business was a great coaching move. Getting through these guys, whatever that halftime speech was, I don't know what it was, but I thought this team came out more focused. I think this coaching staff's doing a fantastic job, and you can sit and question mark all Brian Harsin all you want, but not this season and not tonight.
I blogged about that last week, that I thought October was the best coaching that I've seen from Coach Harsin and his staff yet.
Yes.
In the time that he spent at Boise State, there was a lot of things that needed to be corrected at the end of September. Both sides of the football. The defense had been carrying them a little bit, and they got just enough offense in order to win. But I really felt like not just pushing the right buttons on who is your quarterback going to be and when are you going to put that guy on the field, but more than anything, just they figured out the offensive line, which I thought was garbage at the beginning of this year.
It was bad.
It was really bad played, especially, I won't look at the whole season, but there were times when I looked at the offensive line and said, they can't do anything right. I looked at the wide receiver core and I said, you take Sad out of the picture. I don't know if anybody else can catch a ball.
He might
get
be
open.
Out of the picture with his injury. He's been battling through it
no
right
kidding.
Now.
And I looked at the running backs at times here offensively and said, they haven't got enough burst. They're not going to get it done. And if the offensive line isn't working either. So I've looked at just about every part of this.
Sports Flash.
I'm John Fass. We begin with college football, where number 10 Auburn pummeled top-ranked Georgia 40-17. Jared Stidham had 3 touchdown passes. Kerryon Johnson, 167 yards on the ground. Coach Kirby Smart, meanwhile, on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network from IMG, said there's no way to sugarcoat what happened to his team.
They got a good football team, and they whipped us up front. They whipped us on the back end. They whipped us on the edges. It was a total butt-whipping, and they were more physical than us on both line of scrimmages, and it showed. Now, we did some dumb things, and we helped them. You can't help, good football teams. You just can't get away with it.
And Georgia's loss opens the door for second-ranked Alabama, who found itself in a tight one in Starkville.
Damian Harris, who had a nice block on that last play, is watching now as the throw is caught. Devontae Smith across the middle. He's taking it in. Touchdown!
We need to take a short break here, guys. First, though, we need to get legal here. A legal ID coming up for stations that are involved here. This is Bronco Game Night.
The legendary voice of the Broncos. 670 KBOI, Boise.
A Cumulus station.
Plenty to take care of here on Bronco Game Night. The Broncos get a victory at Colorado State tonight, 59-52 in overtime. We hope to hear from you tonight as well as hear from Coach Harsin. The Paul J. Play of the Game is coming up, and a lot more than that to take care of here on Bronco Game Night.
You're listening to Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KBOI.
It's a win. Ugly. Fun. Still a win, 59-52 over Colorado State on the road tonight, a game that was won in overtime, a game where the Broncos never led in regulation, only took the lead in overtime by getting the football first and scoring. Man, defensively, not a terrific night. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Bronco Game Night. Again, your opportunity to call in tonight on the Domino's Fresh Never Frozen hotline at 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-5264. And, of course, Game Night is presented by Idaho Foot and Ankle. Let's run to the phone over here. Todd is in Boise and listening to Bronco Game Night. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
So far, so good, man. It's a win. It's 2:05 a.m., though, so you know what I'm saying.
I must say, I watched the first half, and then I listened to Bob and Cavender on the second half, and I was just wondering, can you guys possibly play the play call, the last play call of the game with the fumble, and maybe mash that up with the famous Paul Jay and Jeff Caves call from the Fiesta Bowl?
I don't know if we've got the technical know-how to get all of that in at once, but
maybe on Monday you can do that.
We'll definitely fire them. We'll make JP do that on Monday for sure.
All right, that sounds good. That sounds good.
We appreciate it. Thanks.
One more thing about the roughing the passer thing. I still think it was questionable. Not that it matters now with the overtime, but I think that was a momentum shift in the first quarter.
Okay, I'll buy that. Thanks again for listening tonight, man. We appreciate it. And hopefully you get some sleep at some point soon. I know that a lot of people, you know, that the game got over and they went, ha, good, maybe I can get to sleep now. So we appreciate you guys hanging out. Defensively, Mike, let's talk a little bit about that now, because the Broncos, they weren't sharp tonight. They gave up 52 points and darn near gave up more than that. What happened?
Well, they got up to a rough start. I think there was Colorado State since the mismatch with Gallup and Tyler Horton, who – whether they saw that physically, and then all of a sudden he wasn't there mentally either, and it just kind of compounded on him. Tyler Horton was terrible in the first half.
Yeah.
Some people were questioning some tweets that he had on social media today during game day as these guys sat around the hotel for 10 hours. One of his high school football coach died. Looks like he was chastising somebody for giving out his phone number. Looks like he had a bad day before the game even started, and it got worse. I'm not blaming the whole thing on him, but that was certainly a mismatch. Some misfortunate luck. I mean, Chris brought it up. I mean, you know, the pick sixes. They had two pick sixes in this game that never got recorded. There was some plays here and there that never got happened. So combination of bad defense and some bad luck. And the offense wasn't really clicking as they were trying to play the two-quarterback system like they have all year. Eventually, they figured both sides out.
I think there's actually a concerning thing about the defense, and it's not something that just might be a problem in this game. I think the injuries are really piling up, and that has killed Boise State over the last couple of seasons late in the year. Like, people want to say, oh, Coach Hartson, they lost the November game, blame the coach. But look at the reason. The roster in November typically hasn't been the same as what the starting roster is in the first couple of months of the season. And the front seven, really the front four, defensive line, we've profiled it a little bit at the end of these Bronco game nights week after week. Well, one defensive lineman went down, and we said if a couple more go down, that this could start to be a thing, because Boise State's defense, its strength was in its numbers, the amount of people who could come in and produce at a high level. You start to take away some of those guys, and all of a sudden the defense isn't as special. And there was a point in this game where it looked like a Thursday night football game, where literally like every play somebody was right. leaving with an injury. And like, if those injuries don't get better, the defense could have some issues against the Air Force and against Fresno.
Especially up front, like you talked about, Boise State hasn't had Moa or Louie together for the last two games. Moa did play tonight, Louie didn't. Mm-hmm. I think it was reversed last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what's going on at the linebacker situation. I saw Weaver leave.
Durant Miles left at some point. He came back.
Wimpy got nailed here tonight.
Wimpy and Van Der Esch on back-to-back plays. So it was brutal. And I do think the front seven of Boise State with Air Force coming to town next weekend is a major cause for concern.
Let's get to the phones over here. Kurt is calling from Orlando, Florida.
Oh, Kurt, are you getting up?
I don't
know.
No,
actually, you guys are real weenies, you know, complaining about being 2:00.
Hey, that's committed, man. I appreciate that.
Good for you. What you got for us tonight, Kurt?
I've been a Boise State fan for a long time, and I haven't seen the game. I can only got it on audio. I'll see it tomorrow on YouTube. I would say of all the games that I've seen, this ranks in the top three. Of course, there's the Fiesta Bowl, which I think is number one, you know, game ever.
Hard to say no.
But probably the other one was, it might be ahead of this one, was the Nevada quadruple overtime back in, 2006, I guess.
That was an amazing game. A lot of people say that was Colin Kaepernick's coming out party, and I don't know if I agree with that or not, but I'll tell you what, it was a fantastic game. If you go four overtimes and you just keep on trading punches like that, I think the thing that may vault this game over something like that is not only was this an overtime game, they were down – 28-3 at one point, which, by the way, was a fun Twitter question. Give JP a little credit from the ticket, because he did say who did 28-3 better. Was it the Patriots or the Broncos? I like that.
But one thing I have been, I'm kind of far removed being down here in Florida, but one thing that I seem to be hearing a lot lately about the Broncos that I never seemed to hear before is there seems to be a lot more criticism, I like the Broncos win, lose, or draw, it's kind of a disappointment to me that the people up in Boise maybe aren't quite as committed to, the team as they used to be.
I don't know if it's fair or unfair to say that, but I understand why you're saying it. I at least appreciate that. Kurt, thanks for your honesty. We appreciate you listening in tonight. Thank you.
Hey, have a great night.
Take care.
There is more criticism, and that answer is easy, because everybody's comparing anything around here to Coach Peterson and Kellen Moore.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that's just, that's going to take time.
By the way, nobody complains when a team has been really, really bad and they continue to be bad, because there's nothing to compare that team to. When you've got a team that came from, being a JC not all that long ago in the grand scheme of things in college sports to what it is today, gosh, that's a pretty nice story. But when you get good, people pay more attention, and then they nitpick, and then they get a little more criticism. So I get it, and that's why I'm saying I understand where he's coming from.
Yep.
You get a little bit more criticism when people are paying attention. Yep. Bad teams don't get any attention.
Yeah, I criticize myself when I don't feel like I'm reaching my potential, and you're the same way when it's, watching your football team. It's you want them to be the best version of themselves, and if something's holding you back, you get upset with that. If something's holding your team back, you get upset with it.
This team has been frustrating. Right now the overall product looks pretty darn good in terms of the record, the number, where they sit with two games in the season. But it's been frustrating. I don't remember. This is why I've been covering every Boise State season since 1994. I don't remember. I'm sure there's been a couple, but I don't remember one this inconsistent to this extreme that we're seeing.
Is that what makes it frustrating for you? Is they're up and they're down, and it doesn't matter what side of the ball you're talking about?
For fans, it has to be, and it is. Special teams, I think, have been pretty solid. I can't remember much we can criticize there, but offensively and defensively, there's books of information out there this year on ways to criticize this team. But they're pulling it all together, and I think the coaching staff's doing its best job in a long, long time. I said last week or 2 weeks ago, I'm not even sure Pete could pull off some of the things we're seeing this year with the two quarterback system, the way it's working, the way they're juggling, the way they're making in-game decisions and coming back and Troy and this game. It's pretty remarkable what they're doing, if you ask me.
I think we've all been pretty critical at times about the coaching staff.
Absolutely.
And over the last couple of years. And I think we try and do it honestly. I don't think we're coming at it from a, total homer point of view where if you don't win, we're gonna criticize. I think we've looked at the team. I certainly do, because I didn't grow up a Boise State fan. I've come to really like this team and some of these coaches, but I'm not really a Boise State homer by any means. Last week during the Nevada game, my dad played for Nevada, so it was easy for me to root for the Wolfpack.
Sure.
But I think we've looked at it from an honest perspective, and when we criticize for a reason. And it's, I'm just telling you that to say that I get your frustration, but I get the fans' point of view more based on the idea that they're a homer, and it's easy to see something that's not consistent and just get all fired up about it. So
I'm sure whether you're a homer or not, when you're down 28-3 in this game and 35-10 in this game, there's a lot to be upset about. So this is the ultimate game of you can look back on your Twitter feed, you can look back on your Facebook, and the things that you tweeted about 2 hours before, it just probably looks a little bit silly, or maybe it wasn't
silly. I'm blaming it on you.
But it's the ultimate. The range of emotions is why I said this game is why you're a fan. A game like this, it takes you through the pain, the frustration, the jubilation when they come back, the hope, the anticipation. You felt all your emotions of being a football fan in this game, and frustration is part of it. And if you win every game by 30, I know it might sound fun and good, but you're not taking all these late Saturday nights at 8:30 and cold temperatures to go to these games and every one to be a 30-point. No, there's some adversity along the way, and when the team is able to dig themselves out of it, That doesn't mean the frustration was unwarranted when they were digging themselves a hole, but it makes it all the better when they can come back.
Once again, tonight's game, or game night, Bronco game night, is brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle. It's the Treasure Valley's premier foot and ankle center. Idaho Foot and Ankle, with three locations to serve you at Boise, Meridian, and on the Boulevard in Napa. Idaho Foot and Ankle, measuring success 1 foot at a time. Not sure if we're going to get a chance to hear from Coach Harsin or not. We're waiting, as many people are, for the post game to be posted online, and we've yet to see it. So if we get that, we'll bring some of those comments to you. But we will have the Paul J. play of the game, and that's coming up next on Bronco Game Night.
Hi, Bronco fans. Mark Peterson here for Peterson Auto Group, and I'm introducing our You Sell, We Buy program. Sometimes you just want to sell your vehicle and don't want a big hassle. That's why at Peterson, we'll buy your vehicle even if you don't buy a car from us. Oftentimes, we're prepared to offer you...
You're listening to Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KVOI. The game is in the books. Let's find out what play Paul J. thought was the game changer. Bronco Game Night on 1350, 31 FM KTIK and 670 KVOI.
So the Paul J. play of the game is kind of important, folks. The Paul J. play of the game is brought to you by Lock, Stock, and Barrel. It's been voted the best steakhouse 10 years in a row, serving delicious prime rib, mouth-watering steaks, and all-you-can-eat soup and salad bar with every entree. The best dining value in town, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, corner of 11th and Jefferson in downtown Boise. So here's the deal. We are going to play for you in just a moment the Paul J. play of the game. You're going to want to write this down, because on Monday morning at 9 a.m., we will call for you to call in to 670 KBOI. If you have the Paul J. play of the game and you're the correct caller, you're going to win a $50 gift card from Lock, Stock, and Barrel. And that'll buy you one of those nice big mouth-watering steaks that we just mentioned.
Let me ask you an honest question. How many times did Paul J. call up and change his play of the game?
More than once. Truth be known, I got two different Paul J. play of the game. One, when he and the rest of us, I think, thought the game was over after the Brett Rypien interception. Mm. And the next, after the touchdown that tied up the ball game. So I guess I just kind of gave it away. Here we go with the Paul J. play of the game.
Hampton snapped to Rypien. Big blitz. Rypien hit as he throws, but gets it to Rowe, who makes the catch. Touchdown. Reaches out for the goal line. 6 yards, and the Broncos are an extra point away from tying this with 57 seconds
left. We're celebrating 23 years and counting of all sports in the Treasure Valley since 1994.
Put the Broncos in the position to tie up the game with the extra point. Once again, that is the Paul J. play of the game. Write it down and make sure that you call in during the 9 o'clock hour on 670 KBOI on Monday morning for the chance to win that $50 gift card. And I guess at that, I'll ask you guys if you have a play of the game. I have several, so where do you want to start, Mike?
I'll go with Madison's touchdown at the first of the third quarter. I thought that was huge. Not only was that Boise State's first play on offense this entire season over 50 yards, I thought that was a mental boost. And you didn't really have any idea where that was going to lead. And certainly there was lots of ebbs and flows after that. But I thought that made me as a fan, or made me as a watcher, or made me just looking at this football team believe that, yeah, they're back in this football game. And I think that gave this football team a mental lift after a really tough first half. Seems like the halftime was very emotional. And for him to come out and take advantage of that with a 70-yard run, play of the game.
There's only one play in this game that is among the greatest of its play type that I've ever seen. And that's the onside kick that Boise State got to get the ball back down by 7 to get the game tying score. That onside kick, we haven't even discussed that yet, was insane. That was perfect. Capital letters, P-E-R, F-E-C-T, where you got one kicker going one way, and we've seen the loop before when teams have two different kickers. Velasquez was the second one for Boise State, going across the field, and the bounce hop that it took, sky high, but staying in bounds, allowing Cedric Wilson, who had a tough time extending his arms in this game, to go up there and get it. perfect. I have never seen a bounce that scripted, that high in the air, and it was so with ease. You're like, oh, this is going to work. Look at that bounce. And Cedric Wilson was able to get it. That was, to me, and up until that moment, Boise State was unlikely to win that game. And once they got that, you could clearly see, all right, a minute something left. Or it was actually closer to like a minute 50 left. Boise State got the ball, got a hot quarterback with a chance to tie this thing up. So that onside kick, to me, played the game.
I think that's a great point, considering that was their first attempt this year. Last year for the whole season, they were 0-1. They haven't converted an onside kick for at least 2 years. I'll have to go back to the third year to see what happens. So they've obviously practiced it because it was a beauty and it worked well.
See, and I agree with you. The onside kick, I think, was the one X factor, the special teams play that the Broncos needed today in order to put them in the position. But I thought it was the tone setter at the very beginning of the third quarter. That 70-yard touchdown run from Madison was gigantic in just terms of, well, I guess the third quarter started, we're here to kick your butt now, Colorado State. Here we are. You know, do something about it.
I thought it was a big message.
Well, you could see immediately the body language changed. Colorado State went in at the end of the second quarter kind of feeling it a little bit. It's like, they're going to try and make a game out of this. And, you know, it looked like that very first touchdown, it was like, we're not going to stop. Here it comes. And it just seemed like it was that way all night long. Every time Colorado State would do something right, the Broncos would mirror it and counterpunch. I mean, that's what great games are about, the counterpunching, the punch for punch that you get going back and forth. And with a score like 59-52, you had a lot of counter punches in this game, right?
Yeah, but in a way, you kind of didn't, though, because there was one lead change, and that was when Boise State took their only lead
one
at what the final score was.
One lead change that game.
Yeah. And so, like, in a way, like, I could see your point of the back and forth, like, Boise State got punched and they punched back. But when I hear that analogy, I typically think of, for example, Boise State, New Mexico, was it like 3 years ago in Albuquerque when each team had big plays and the league kept swinging back and forth and Boise had a tough time stopping the option in that game, ended up scoring like 50 in a win.
Yeah, we didn't stop the option in that game.
But this was just more of like an avalanche that Boise State had once they started to work. But you're right, then Colorado State then figured it out once more and got a 2-touchdown lead and you thought it was done, and then, it wasn't.
We're going to run down through some of the other games that were played today in conference as well. It was really a magnificent day for college football.
Oh, unbelievable.
Such a great day to sit in front of the tube and take all that in, or listen to the radio if you were driving around town today. There was lots of games on the radio today, by the way. I listened to a few of them myself.
I actually thought it was a letdown day, but I can explain why.
You thought it was a letdown day for college
football?
I thought
it was a letdown. I thought we got...
Just
right,
hang on.
I'll wait.
I'll wait. Hold on. We'll get to that when we come back because, I mean, you're crazy, but we'll talk about that. We'll do that when we come back. This is Bronco Game Night.
You're listening to Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KBOI.
Glad you're with us for Bronco Game Night, presented by Idaho Foot and Ankle, the Treasure Valley's premier foot and ankle center. Happy to have you guys call in if you like. The Domino's Fresh Never Frozen hotline at 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-5264. I'm Rick Worthington along with Chris Lewis and Mike Prater from Idaho Sports Talk. Chris is questionable sometimes on his judgment.
He's just questionable, period, sometimes.
But when he says that such a great day of college football, in my eyes, was a letdown for him. So, Chris, please explain why today's college football did not hit your fancy button.
All right, first, I want to say it had nothing to do with the Boise State game. The Boise State game was fantastic. It was awesome the way they came back, thrilling, took you through all the emotions that you want to feel during a football game. It was great. It was also the exception. Because not many of the games this week, despite the fact that we had all these great matchups, we had ranked versus ranked, games with college football playoff implications. I was so hyped for today. I thought we would have had a great day of college football. None of these games, scratch that, Mississippi State and Alabama was a good game.
That was a good game.
That was a very good game. Mississippi State should have won that game, but Alabama came from behind. And not to say they're a Boise State or anything, but they did have a come-from-behind victory.
Okay.
Okay, you see what I did there? All right. Outside of that, though, Auburn whooped Georgia. That wasn't competitive. Miami whooped Notre Dame. That wasn't competitive. Clemson was all over Florida State. Maybe you didn't expect that to be competitive. Oklahoma was just putting the beat down on TCU. Wisconsin, never a doubt against Iowa. And Ohio State just ran everything on Michigan State. Those were the games that we were all hyped to see. That's why it was supposed to be the greatest week of the college football season. Those games, they sucked. It was a letdown. I wanted to see some great football. I wanted to see some awesome finishes. They had great storylines going into the game, but the games weren't good.
See, I guess I look at it a little differently. And Mike, I'll give you a chance to comment on this as well, but when I look at what happened in college football this week, everything you thought you knew about college football kind of got turned up on its ear a little bit this week. I mean, just looking at the CFP top four teams, that's going to be all different this week. Alabama will still be there. I'm not sure anybody else will. So I see this as a opportunity to change things around, and that's exciting and that's fun, because what we hate is to have those same four teams every week be exactly the same as you march into that playoff around New Year's. So this was different, and that's good for football, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good for football, and the day itself was fantastic because of the chaos. But Chris is right. I mean, I spent half my day with my remote looking for a good competitive football game, because every time I turned around to all these games that were supposed to be great, it was a blowout game. So, but, you know, the chaos kept us excited. The chaos kept us hooked. We all know now that there's going to be a shakeup. I think Clemson will still stay in the top four. So, you know, at that point, you know, you think Miami jumps in there. We're going to have a big shakeup on Tuesday, and we're going to have a big Air Force game next Saturday. But today was crazy, but not because of the games. Not because of the competitiveness within the games.
I actually thought like this was the one week that had a chance to be like, yo, college football has wrestled it away from the NFL from being just like a very compelling on the field. What you're seeing is just a lot more enjoyable than the NFL product. But it just turns out when you have margins like this, it really, the storylines throughout the week will still be great. Like, we'll still have, again, the intrigue on who's 3-4 in the polls, why they're 3-4, who's left out, why are they left out, is the Big Ten somehow back in there, is the Big 12, could they get in the play? There'll be great stories throughout the week. I just thought we'd have a Saturday, though, that we could just, from noon, or I guess 10 a.m., all the way to the end of the Boise State game, that we'd just be riveted with close football, and that just wasn't what we got.
No.
And there were some games that are worth mentioning from our conference. Not only did Boise State have a really good game against Colorado State and winning that game in overtime 59-52, Nevada was all over San Jose State today, 59-14. I saw a defensive player for Nevada scored three touchdowns today.
Holy cow.
And it's the first time that's happened in, I think, 10 years in college football. There hasn't been a defensive player.
This is Damon Amendola, board the mothership with me. Mornings on the DA show from 7 till 10 on Sports Radio.
Fumble recovery, interception for a pick six. Texas A&M beat New Mexico pretty handily today, 55-14. Wyoming defeated Air Force, I think, in the most intriguing game outside of Boise State and Colorado State. Wyoming defeating Air Force 28-14. That game was at Air Force, if I'm not mistaken. Looking for you guys to correct me if I'm wrong on that one.
I think so.
I think it was. Yeah, I remember seeing the cut in, and Allen threw a touchdown. It was at Air Force's field.
28-14 was the final in that one. Wyoming now 7-3 overall, 5-1 in the Mountain West.
Do we know if Allen ever came back? No, he was done. They put him in street clothes, and he was done. He didn't finish that game. Any update? Do we know if he's done for the year?
I don't know.
It was a sweatpants.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Fresno State, they stay atop the division, 31-21 victory over Hawaii.
But they go to Laramie next week, so that's a tough turnaround for them.
Is that just the worst?
Yeah.
You go to Hawaii 1 week, and then you got to go to Laramie the next. And isn't there supposed to be weather in Wyoming next week as well?
Is there?
I mean,
is it November?
Weather, which is to Laramie? Say it's not just going to be cold. It's going to be windy and probably have some snowflakes tied to it as well.
Yeah. Drink your vitamin C drinks if you're on Fresno. You're going to get sick. Going from that warm climate to that cold? Get your vitamin C packets in. I'm giving you some health advice, Rick. Why are you looking at me like that?
Yeah, I need more than vitamin C packets. Look at me. It's all right. It's okay. We're going to play a game called Major or Minor. It's brought to you by U.S. Registration. We'll do that when we come back. It's an opportunity for us to talk about a couple of different topics and talk about why it's a big deal or why it's not such a big deal. We'll do that when we come back on Bronco Game Night.
You're listening to Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KBOY.
They're going to put the you ball have to the wake right up,
so wake up to like Gio and Jones. Weekday mornings on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.
It's going to be Velasquez to kick it. Skillen peels back. Velasquez kicks it. The ball is up in the air, and it's caught. Wilson has it. The onside kick is recovered. The Broncos got the big hop, and Wilson got it. And Boise State, with 1:40 left, has the football on the plus side of the 50.
Bob Beeler on the call tonight as the Broncos pick up the victory in Colorado, in Fort Collins, 59-52. It's an overtime win for the Broncos, one for the record books, one for the ages, an absolute epic football game. The final 5 minutes of that football game was just so much fun to watch. I'll go back probably and watch the tape again tomorrow and watch the whole thing through again, just to kind of piece together all the things that happened, knowing, of course, what the outcome is going to be. But
I would do that, but my DVR ran out of space.
It did?
I record the whole game. How could you,
too many how episodes, long did you set Days it, of Our Lives?
How long did you set it to go? Like, the maximum, isn't it like 4 hours? This game was like at least 4.5.
It was a long was game. That's why we're still here, right?
45. Like, there's no way your DVR could have got the whole thing.
We are going to play a little game. It's called Minor or Major, and it's brought to you by U.S. Registration. So I will give you guys a couple of topics, and you will tell me whether it's a major thing or a minor thing, or and you're going to have to back it up. You can't just tell me if it's major or minor. You got to back it up. And we'll start with this, guys. Injuries. We'll get to the injury report a little bit later, but injuries, they are accumulating. A major or a minor thing, Mike Prater?
I think it's a major thing. Exactly what Chris pointed out earlier in the show. It's kind of starting to be a flashback from last season when the depth really started being tested because they didn't have these guys. Last year, I think it wasn't so much because of injuries. They just didn't have a lot of bodies. They seemed to have more bodies. They addressed the situation in the offseason, and now these guys are getting hurt. I think it was three quick plays, almost back-to-back-to-back, Vander Esch, Wimpy, and Weaver in the third quarter. That was not good. We know Cedric Wilson's shoulder. He can barely lift his arm at this point. I saw Nawahini bleeding all over the place. Madison was all beat up.
I just want to know what happened with Cedric. I mean, there are three different times I saw him holding his shoulder, and it seemed like it wasn't just one, it was both of them.
I think it happened earlier in the season. I think it happened a couple games ago. It's something he's been dealing with. And then there was a play early in the first quarter where he got tackled. It might have been the first or second drive, and he landed on that shoulder again, and it was just a bothersome thing all night long. So, yeah, you got your best running back, you got your best wide receiver, and you got your front seven on defense all banged up. Major concern.
It's major, and this is the one thing that would make me concerned, especially on the defensive side of the ball, next week. If there's any team that tests the depth of your roster on defense, second team, third team, it's Air Force.
Yeah.
Air Force makes you have all your guys. You need everybody.
They make you crazy.
Yes, and if you just are short in numbers. David Moa played, but he's not right. He's not 100%. Jeff Kays reported before the game that there's no way Moa's near 100%. He's there on the sideline watching him warm up. Louis didn't play today. It seems like Miles leaves the game for some kind of period every game at this point in the year. Brainerd just mentioned the different guys, three plays in a row where guys are moving out the game. It's major, and if this defense isn't in A, even though the offense did have a game where they just came from behind and put up 50-something points, I don't want to see them have to do this every time. So this defense needs to play at a really solid level, and I think their margin for error just got a lot lower.
Question number two has to do with Cozart. We got two straight weeks where he has not been very effective while he's been in. I know that they're both victories, and that's a good thing, but Cozart was such a major portion of the offense early on in this season, and seems like now that Brett Rypien is playing a little bit better, maybe it's not such a good thing to have a two-quarterback system. Major or minor problem for the Broncos right now that Cozart's play has not been quite as good as we'd seen in previous weeks?
I'm going to say minor. The offense has been about as good as it's been over the last 3 weeks. One of them, Cozart, was pretty effective. Last week, numbers weren't great. He handed the ball off quite a bit last week, and the running game seemed to be pretty solid. Today, whenever he touched it, it seemed like Colorado State knew where he was going to run, and they're not really that creative anymore when he's in the game. It's generally going to be a running play. They seem less willing to want him to throw the ball now. And I really do feel like if you're going to get the best out of Cozart, you do need the throwing threat. And if the throwing threat goes away, how effective can he really be? Because everybody's going to be close to the line of scrimmage unless they think that he's going to do what he did. What was it against home game? Was it Wyoming where Cedric Wilson ran an in route and everybody thought that Cozart was running the draw and Wilson caught the slant and took it to the distance? They need to have that threat there, and that's why it's a minor problem. The offense is still putting up numbers, but I want to see him be able to throw it a little bit more.
Gotcha.
Definitely a minor problem as long as Brett Rypien is playing as well as he is right now. So I think that there might be times where we're going to need Cozart, and he's out there, and we know he can do it. I don't feel too uncomfortable with that. So this is the way it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to have a weird two-quarterback system, and they made it work when they had to. And now they don't really have to, but it's a pretty good insurance policy if they do.
Well, Brett Rypien threw for 4 touchdown passes tonight and looked pretty good in doing so. The stats are not on my page here right now for Brett Rypien and for Cozart, but I'll tell you this. I sure like it when other guys step up around Brett Rypien and kind of maybe that was the bigger problem before, is Brett was throwing balls on the numbers and they weren't getting brought in. And so a lot of those third down opportunities to extend drives weren't being extended because of drops or because of miscommunication or guys not running the right routes. Or maybe it was just Brett. Don't know. But it seems like that problem has been fixed. I'll give you one more before we get out, and that is the defense gave up 50 tonight. That isn't good. Major or minor problem for the Broncos. Defense did not look good tonight.
I'll go with a major because it ties to the first one, which is injuries. Because the strength of Boise State was in its numbers defensively early on in the season. The amount of guys who can come on the field and make an impact, you had more fresh bodies. At this point, like the more plays you're seeing from Matt Locker and like KO'd Rufai, like that, you're going a little bit deep there. And if they're the ones on the field instead of guys like Van Der Esch and guys like Louie, there is going to be a drop off there. So you gave up 52 in this game. You won't face a team that can run it and throw it as well as Colorado State the rest of the year, save for the bowl game. But Air Force can run it, and they're going to put all the pressure on this defense.
I say it's a major problem only because of Air Force. I came away feeling fairly encouraged about this defense. They gave up 5 touchdowns in the first half and only 1 in each quarter in the second half, and then essentially won the game with a fumble in overtime. So I saw some signs there. This defense obviously still is very, very good, but the injuries heading into Air Force next week, major.
Look, Dawkins was terrific.
Yep.
And I don't want to pin that on the defense. Dawkins, I think among the running backs that we've seen, he's probably the quickest of the backs that I've seen Boise State play this year. Because that guy's at full speed, I mean right now. That guy doesn't just hit the hole, he's through the hole because of his quickness. And his ability to dance and make guys miss. Look, he was 32 carries for 161 yards and a pair of scores tonight. But more than that, his effectiveness can't be measured in just yards because he picked up and moved chains and did so quite often.
If he finishes that game, Colorado State wins. Like, he left the game with the...
I don't think you're wrong at all.
If he finishes...
he's in that game, man. It's trouble.
The Rams don't fumble. Like, that's the classic. Like, it didn't take a genius to call the young back who doesn't have many college carries getting high-pressure fourth quarter and overtime carries might fumble one of them. I didn't feel like Dawkins was going to fumble one of them. So, he was really talented. He was the best running back that Boise State has faced this year, and they had faced Rashad Penny for San Diego State.
Yep. Hawkins was terrific, yeah.
Yeah. He was better than Penny, I thought, yeah. At least compared to the game that Boise State played, absolutely.
Major or minor is brought to you by U.S. Registration, who wants just to remind you not to let a minor issue become a major problem. U.S. Registration, a drug testing and compliance consortium that handles paperwork for owner-operators, new entrant safety audits, and safety assurance program. Even if you failed a drug test or safety audit in the past, they can help at U.S. Registration. Short break here. We're going to come back and we're going to wrap things up with the injury report and more before we get out of here on Bronco Game Night.
It's time for the injury report on Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle. They measure success 1 foot at a time.
Well, we're glad to have you with us for Bronco Game Night. We're going to wrap things up here for you in just a couple of minutes as we are early on Sunday morning, and I think we're all, having watched so much football today, ready for a little nap. Before we get there, though, I think this is, as we mentioned in the major or minor game that we played, the biggest concern right now is injuries and how it affects depth. Chris, can you run us down some sort of an injury list as to what we know and about who?
It's tough because I had a hard time keeping track of who's coming in, who's coming out. Mike, you can probably help me out here. Riley Wimpy at one point left this game. Chase Hatata did not play in this game. Sanatane Louie did not play in this game. Durant Miles left and came back. Sam Whitney, is he already done for the year? So he's already a factor who's not there on the defensive line. Offensively, Madison left, came back. Wilson left, came back. All right, am I missing anybody?
I think Weaver left at one point and came back as well. I'm pretty concerned about the Cedric Wilson one. I mean, the front defensive guys, as we've talked about, are pretty scary. But Cedric Wilson needs to get healthy. 2 weeks in a row, and he got beat up hard. So that shoulder, Boise State needs Cedric Wilson over these next 2, 3, 4 games, and that could be a lingering injury that may or may not heal for the rest of the season. They have to take a close look at that. I don't know if any of these injuries are season-ending or out for next week. Hatata's been out for 2 or 3 weeks. Louie and Moa kind of gone back and forth about sitting and playing. So it'd be nice to get those two guys together. I think everybody else, for the most part, came back. I saw
Covedo not play in this game. Right. Eric Covedo, the right guard. So
yep.
That's another one, man. Like
you don't want injuries on your offensive line either. Look, I think if there's any silver lining to this, it's that Boise State is going to play Air Force next week. They're going to do that here in Boise. And with a victory, it's likely that they'll have this division wrapped up.
I believe if they win, they do. There's no other if
I think you're right. And I haven't heard anybody confirm that. Yeah. So I'm saying I believe it's
the
way it is.
That is true.
So if you can get that victory, there's no reason that you have to go nuts and try and play everybody that you've got to play against Fresno State, considering that you might face them in the Mountain West Championship game anyway, play them back-to-back games.
I would rather face Fresno State in the Mountain West. Like, if there's an opportunity for you, like, if Fresno wins, they capture the league, and if they don't, they don't capture the league, I would rather face Fresno State in the Mountain West Championship game than San Diego State.
No, you don't want to look at San Diego
State. I don't
want to
see them the second time.
If there's any team in the entire conference that's not afraid to play on the blue, it's Rocky Long and those boys who seems like every other year they're up here for the Potato Bowl and winning that game, too. So, yeah, I don't want to see San Diego State again. And I think we're, as Boise State Nation, Bronco Nation probably says, yeah, if we could stay away from that one, I got a little more faith in our ability to beat Fresno State. But all I'm saying is there's an opportunity if injuries is your big problem and you've already got the mountain wrapped, sit some guys. Get healthy. Get ready for the championship game. That last game of the regular season doesn't become quite as important.
Unless you're fighting for, well, if they win, they're going to host. So I don't think even that's an
group
issue.
Group of five?
Yeah.
Group of five, New Year's Six spot, UCF, if they slip up, now does it take a different meaning? Could they lose their championship game anyway? So should you play in case?
I guess after the Air Force game, it would be easier to know if that is in fact an issue.
There's going to be some. They'll have some information after the Air Force game if they win that game about kind of jockeying for position. I have a feeling Coach Harsin, even if they win next week and clinch the division title, clinch the Mountain West title game appearance, there'll be no celebrating. There'll be no post-game celebrating because he's going to want to go out and finish up against Fresno. There might be some juggling going on there in terms of what's at stake down the road. So I don't even think they'll celebrate a win next week. I think they're going to go into Fresno thinking we have to win it all right here.
Final thoughts, Chris. Good victory tonight for Boise State, 59-52.
Yeah, and with the classic, I think you could call it that, right? A classic against Colorado State just got me to thinking how Colorado State and Boise State, they're starting to bring out the best of each other. And we're kind of always talking about rivalries and whether one ever exists and things like that. But think of the last 2 years, Boise State against Colorado State in some of the different sports. Football's had this classic. Definitely ranks up there amongst the all-time great Boise State games. A couple of years ago, a basketball game that ended in a clock error, James Webb buzzer beater, go right back to the DV sport. Remember that happened at Moby Arena and that whole mess from the Mountain West Conference? And then the last season against Colorado State, Chandler Hutchison hits a buzzer beater to beat CSU. Even if you wanted to go off those main sports, you know, the volleyball team captured a Mountain West championship by beating Colorado State. Women's basketball pulled an upset against the Rams last year in a Mountain West tournament to go and beat CSU. These two schools, different sports, developing some kind of a thing for each other here.
Not bad, but Boise State still never lost to Colorado State 7-0, including 4-0 in four columns. The first three games in four columns were blowouts. At least it's getting closer.
So we're done for the night. Boise State gets it done in overtime, 59-52. Reminder, next week, Boise State on the blue against Air Force. That's an 8:15 p.m. kickoff time, if I'm not mistaken. We appreciate you guys sticking around for a late night and early morning edition of Bronco Game Night. We'll see you next week.